Today I get to celebrate and to share with you several bits of exciting news this morning. First of all, this week I received notice that yet again this year, Advent will receive the Bishop's Five-Star Award for Excellence in Ministry. And I wanted to share that with you. We will be one of, I think, 27 churches out of the 1,000 churches in the South Carolina Annual Conference. You'll be one of the 27 who receive this Bishop's Five-Star Award for Excellence in Ministry. And what that, it's a great honor, and it recognizes your commitment to being in ministry with and to our surrounding community. It recognizes your commitment to excellence in youth ministry and children's ministry and outreach ministry. It's a great honor. And so I want to celebrate that with you. And then secondly, I also want to share with you that at the end of our service today, we're going to have the opportunity to join together in praying a prayer of blessing over our third GAIN home. GAIN stands for Greenville Area Interfaith. This is our third GAIN home, and if you're a guest today or you're new to Advent and you don't know what we're talking about when we say GAIN home, GAIN stands for Greenville Area Interfaith Hospitality Network, and last, well, 2 years ago, actually, Christmas of 2014, we decided as a congregation that we were going to obey Jesus in a very specific way, and we were going to love our neighbors just as we loved ourselves in a very specific way. So what we decided we were going to do is cut our Christmas spending in half. And for every dollar we spent on Christmas gifts for ourselves or our family, friends, we were going to bring a dollar for our Christmas Eve offering. And we were going to call that our Christmas miracle offering. And we were going to use that to build or buy a home that would become a transitional home for homeless families in our community. And so we did that. And our Christmas Eve offering in 2014 was $263,000. And that money is still, this is the third home, and we think that through a partnership with GAIN and also Homes of Hope, we think when everything is said and done, we will have eight or more bridge homes or transitional homes for homeless families. And I just think that's remarkable. In fact, in 2 weeks, we'll have our first family move into the third home, and that will be the sixth family whose lives have been impacted and changed because of your generosity in Christmas of 2014. We get to celebrate that good news. And then third, this last bit of news, is that I want to share with you that since our last charge conference approval to move forward with the campus expansion, the expansion of the sanctuary and building of a new building, since that time, our building committee has been very busy. So far, they have carefully chosen a contractor, and our contractor is going to be Trail Corporation. They're going to help us build our facilities, expand our facilities. And the building committee has also been hard at work with civil engineers and the architect, and it looks like the construction timeline is going to look like this. Sometime late September, early October, we'll break ground out there on the new building that will be a connection building, or most of it will be a connection space where we get to interact with each other and have fellowship and even maybe meet some people from the other two services and have some time to fellowship and talk around coffee. And then the other part of the building will be music rehearsal space, and then upstairs will be new offices. And so that'll be the new building will begin September, October. And then on December 26th, after all of our Christmas services are done, then Trail would come into the sanctuary, and they'll start the renovation here. And they assure us that we will be able to celebrate Easter back in the sanctuary. And we're going to hold them to that. So that'll happen. And then after May of 2017, we'll begin renovation on the education space. It'll be newly renovated and exciting, engaging children's ministry space. So there's a lot going on, right? A lot of exciting news. Amen? And so that's a lot of what has been and what is going on in the life of our church. It's a lot of what. A lot of what's going on. And when we have a whole lot of what going on, it's often a good idea to take a breath, to pause, and to remind ourselves in the midst of all the what, to remind ourselves of why. Why is it we're doing all these things? Why are we frantically running around doing all these things? Why do we run around and do all these ministries and missions? In the midst of all the what, it's important to think about why? I've been thinking a lot about why this week, and why is the question you ask when you're searching for purpose? Why is a question you ask when you're thinking about what your mission is? There's power in why. There's power to impact all the what when you really are clear about your why. So to clarify what I mean by the power of why, the impact of why, I want to share with you a video clip. This is a Christian comedian named Michael Jr., and he's going to share with you why it's important to go beyond the what and think about the why.
So the series is called How Do I Know? And a lot of times when people hear the phrase, how do I know, the next thing they say is what? How do I know what? But the key really isn't to know what. The key is to know why. Because when you know your why, you have options on what your what can be. For instance, my why is to inspire people to walk in purpose. My what is stand-up comedy. My what is writing books. My what can be going out with some friends to eat. In fact, another what that is moving me towards my why is a web series that we have out now called Break Time. So every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, you should subscribe to the channel. We do a series called Break Time on YouTube. So 3 o'clock, we drop a new episode. One episode in particular I'm about to show you a clip to. We were in Winston-Salem. So Break Time, this is how it works. I travel the country, I do stand-up comedy, probably an hour, hour and a half at an event. And in the middle of my show, I'll just sit down and start talking to the audience. And funny just happens. Or I'll meet somebody who's really interesting. So I met this one guy, and he said that he teaches music at a school. I was like, all right, you teach music, you know, can you sing? And then I'm just going to show you the clip. Check it. So you're a musical director.
Cool. Yes, sir.
All right, so let me get a couple bars of like Amazing Grace. Can you do the first part of that? Go ahead.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wow.
That bro could sing. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Now, what you give me the version is if your uncle just got out of jail, you got shot in the back when you was a kid. I'm just saying, let me see the hood version real quick, if you know which version I'm talking about. Just see if that exists. Let me see what you got.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
So here's the thing. The first time I asked him to sing, he knew what he was doing. The second time I asked him to sing, he knew why he was doing it. When you know your why, your what has more impact because you're walking in or towards your purpose.
When you know your why, your what has more impact because you're walking in or toward your purpose. When you know your why, your what has more impact because you're walking in or toward your purpose. In the passage we have for this morning, Jesus is talking to his disciples yet again, and he's talking to them about their why. Now, this is something Jesus does in the Gospels quite a bit. In fact, when he very first, beginning of his ministry, when he first called the disciples, they were along the Sea of Galilee, they were fishermen, and he walks up to them, and he starts out by telling them the why. He goes up to them and he says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people," which is where we get our statement, our mission is, it's our why. And it wasn't just in the beginning of Jesus' ministry that he shared with his disciples the why, because he knows that disciples like us are forgetful. And so at the very end, his last words to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, before he ascends into heaven, he reminds his disciples of the why. He tells them, now, here's what I want you to do. Go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. So at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and at the end, he reminds his disciples of why, because they're going to be doing a lot of what, but he wants them to remember why they're doing all the what. And then along the way, he knows that we're forgetful people, and so he reminds his disciples along the way about their why. And one of those times, I think, is in our gospel lesson from the Gospel of John this morning. So I'm going to read the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and I'll begin at verse 8. Amen. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me. I'd like for you to turn to a couple of people around you and deliver this message. The message is, keep an eye toward the why. Can you do that for me? Keep an eye toward the why. Keep an eye toward the why. If you studied very much about Jesus in the Gospels, you know that Jesus often teaches in parables, these stories that sometimes can be kind of cryptic, and we don't always immediately know what Jesus is talking about when he's teaching, because it's kind of hard to figure out sometimes. But that's not true in our passage today. I mean, really, Jesus is pretty clear right out of the gate. Verse 8, here's what he says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Now, if you hang around any church for very long, but particularly if you hang around Advent very long, you are bound to hear us talk a lot about disciples. We are disciples. Our mission is making disciples. You hear a lot of talk about disciples. So maybe it's a good time to kind of pump the brakes and talk about our definition of a disciple. What is a disciple? Because if we're going to make them and we want to be one, if we're becoming disciples according to Jesus, then what exactly is a disciple? Our working definition here at Advent, it's found in our Disciples Path curriculum that we ask all of our new members to go through this Disciples Path. The way we define a disciple is this. A disciple is a follower of Jesus whose life is centering on loving God and loving others. Now, you probably recognize some of that from, there's one time in Jesus' life when some folks come up to Jesus and they're trying to trick him. They ask him what the greatest commandment of all is. Now, in the Old Testament, there's like 618 commandments. And so they ask Jesus, which one is the most important? Which one's the greatest? And Jesus says, well, I'll tell you. The greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second goes hand in hand with the first. You can't even separate them. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. Those two, greatest commandment, love God with everything you've got, love your neighbor as yourself. And so we define a disciple as a follower of Jesus whose life is centering on that great commandment. Love God, love others. And that word centering is important too. The tense is important because nobody has arrived already. Nobody has perfected being a disciple. We couldn't say that a disciple is a follower of Jesus whose life has centered because that would imply that you finished the journey. But a follower of Jesus whose life is centering, it's an ongoing journey, an ongoing process where our lives are centering on the great commandment to love God and love others. So that's what a disciple is. And according to Jesus, in verse 8 of this passage, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Now, I find it interesting that Jesus doesn't say, my Father is glorified by this, that you become my disciples, and then you bear much fruit. I mean, it seems like the sequence would go like that. I mean, if I'm going to bear fruit at first, I need to become a disciple myself. And so I get that all squared away, and then I'm ready to bear fruit. But that's not what Jesus says. Instead, he says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. There is something about this process of becoming a disciple that is cyclical. There's something about this process of becoming a disciple that requires that we bear fruit along the way. And so we start following Jesus and we should start bearing fruit. And as we bear more fruit, we start becoming deeper, going deeper into our relationship with Jesus and deeper into our discipleship. So it is a cycle of growing in our discipleship and bearing fruit. Growing in our discipleship and bearing fruit. It's not a sequence, but a cycle. But what does it mean if Jesus says that my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit? What does that mean? What does it mean to bear fruit? What is the fruit of a disciple? Now, we can answer that question a lot of different ways. You can look around our life together here at Advent, and you can point to fruit all over the place. There's fruit in our children's ministry, in our student ministry. There's fruit in our missions. There's fruit in the ways that we share God's love with all those around us. But as I thought about that question, what is the fruit of the disciple? My mind kept coming back to a question. It's a question that some of you have heard me ask this question before, so I'll ask it again. Instead of asking what is the fruit of a disciple, I first want to ask you, what is the fruit of an apple tree? Now, most people hear that question and you think, well, duh. The fruit of an apple tree is an apple. And that is true to a certain extent. I was asking this question recently in a Disciples Path class, and I think people anticipated that my question was a trick question. So somebody said, well, the fruit of an apple tree is the seed. That's a pretty good answer too. But the answer I was headed for is that the fruit of an apple tree is another apple tree. That's the reason the tree produces this sweet-tasting fruit in the first place. It's not so that we can have something that tastes good. It's because the fruit is a vehicle for the seed that then produces the ultimate fruit of another apple tree. An apple tree's whole purpose for bearing fruit is to create another apple tree. And Jesus says in this passage, verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. I think what Jesus is telling us is that the fruit of a disciple is another disciple. That's our task. He told us to go and make more disciples, to share his love with all the world. The fruit of a disciple is another disciple. And I think in the process of reminding us of this, Jesus is reminding us of our why. Because he knows it's easy to get distracted by all the what that we have going on in our individual lives and even in our life together here as a congregation. So Jesus consistently reminds us of our why. He wants us to keep an eye toward the why. A little bit later on, in this same passage, verse 16, Jesus said this, "You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." I was thinking about fruit that will last and trying to, well, what is that for us? And I couldn't help but think about our recent confirmation class. We had 33 confirmands. These are rising seventh graders who for a solid year intently and intentionally invested in their relationship with Jesus. They nurtured their relationship. They engaged in these classes to grow and learn. And then they topped off their year by making a public profession of their faith. And not only did they make this public profession of their faith, but they all made these promises, the same promises that everybody makes when they join this church. They promised to support the church with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness. And so these seventh graders were examples to all of us about what it means to make those promises. And it sounds like to me that that's the kind of fruit that will last. Some of these confirmands were baptized right here in this place, and the fruit continues to grow. It's fruit that will last. I had this bearing fruit idea on my mind all week, and then I started seeing lots of posts and pictures online this week of Advent folks who are graduating from college. A lot of pictures of graduations, a lot of gowns and caps, and it's amazing to think about how these young people who have been molded and shaped by this church, the young people who have now grown up and they're ready to go out into the world and they're ready to change it. They're ready to make it better. After all the investments that have been made in them, they now get to go forth into the world and make a difference. They get to go. They get to continue becoming disciples of Jesus, and they get to go and bear fruit. And it's not just college graduations that I saw. We have some Advent folks who are graduating from graduate school. And in fact, we have two that I know of who are receiving theological degrees in a couple days. In fact, one of them was here at 8:30 this morning. And she is going to tomorrow receive a theological degree from that other school, Candler School of Theology in Atlanta. You know that other one. And then we have another student who is about to receive her degree from the theological school in Durham. So Katie Smith will graduate tomorrow from Candler with a theological degree, and Shauna Darnell will graduate this week from Duke Divinity School. And then Shauna is going to go on, and she will, at this annual conference in June, she will be commissioned as a pastor. And she will be appointed to serve as the associate pastor at St. Mark's United Methodist Church in Seneca. And I saw all that. I hope you're as proud of that as I am. Because I look around, all around, and it's not just them. There's fruit all over this place. And I believe it's fruit that will last. You know, this week I was thinking about all this, and this is sort of a beyond reprise. And so I went back and watched some of the videos we created and had during the Beyond Initiative. You remember some of those? And I went back and watched a couple of those. And in one of those videos, there was a picture that was taken over in the original sanctuary. It was a picture of a family, one of our Advent families, and there was a baby in this picture who had obviously just been baptized, and she was being held by Advent's founding pastor, Smoke Knipe. If I was able to scrounge up that picture, I want to show it to you. This is it's over in our original sanctuary, and the baby in this picture happens to be Carly Smith. This is the Carly Smith who led us in prayer just a few moments ago. This is the Carly Smith who was baptized here. She was confirmed here. She was molded here and shaped here. And now is doing a fantastic job on staff here as our assistant director of student ministries. And now she's really red. And Carly is just one of the many, many examples of this church bearing fruit. Fruit that will last. We have some of our fruit singing in the praise band this morning. We have fruit all over the place. It's fruit that will last. Well, as a church, it's easy to get busy with all the what. We've got stuff going on all around. We've got prison ministry and student ministry and children's ministry, and we got mission projects and mission trips and Bible studies and Sunday school, and we got a lot of what going on. And it's always good when we have so much what to pause and keep an eye toward the why. And we don't even have to work that hard to figure out our why, because Jesus tells us over and over in the Gospels, at the very beginning, he says, hey, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. At the end of his ministry, he said, hey, go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you. And here in our passage this morning, he reminds us yet again, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. And so in the midst of everything we do, the construction that's coming, the missions, the ministries, in the midst of everything we do, no matter how busy we get, let's be sure to take the time to keep our eye toward the why. Because when we know our why, our what has greater impact, because we're walking in and toward our purpose. Amen.